Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
I'll start up your work week right here on B&A Monday, 2 August. That's right, we're the dog days, which means we're counting down days to the college football season. Sitting at 33 and change, 34 days to the Longhorns game with Louisiana. And the Raging Cajuns happen to be the 20th ranked team in our Horn Top 20 countdown. We got a ton to talk about with you this morning. The big stories of the weekend and looking forward to the big stories of the week and the month of August now. With college football on the brain, pro football on the brain. Cowboys will play in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night as part of the Hall of Fame weekend in Canton, Ohio. Great legendary Cowboys coach Jimmy Johnson will go into the Hall of Fame as part of that class coming up this weekend. And the Cowboys will play Thursday night, or players wearing Cowboys uniforms will play on Thursday night at Fawcett Stadium in Canton, Ohio. So there's something to look forward to there. We've also got the Tokyo Olympics. You know, we're just halfway through the Olympics, by the way.
I know. I mean,
it's past the halfway point.
It generally ends with track and field, like the 100 and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, swimming.
4x4.
And the gymnastics goes early, and then track and field kind of takes over. We've got basketball into the medal round now on the men's side. We mentioned the U.S. soccer team on the women's side will not play for the gold. So we'll get you all the Tokyo Olympics coverage and also the NBA free agency. It's a weird calendar this year, but the NBA is opening up its free agency period after the draft last week. So a lot there as well. And so it's going to be a fun week and fun conversations to be had. And this lead story with the Buffalo Bills is one that's intriguing, Buck, because, well, let's start with that. The headlines that maybe the Buffalo Bills eyeing the capital city as a possible relocation destination. Let's hit the news. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And, yeah, that's the breaking news NFL story to watch. ESPN reporter Seth Wickersham tweeted yesterday and then reported that the owners of the Buffalo Bills have floated the idea of a potential move to Austin if they don't get the new stadium deal they want in Buffalo. Now, likely a leverage play to try to get public funding for a $1.5 billion stadium in Buffalo. Buffalo News reports the owners are asking taxpayers to pay 100% for the new stadium. Bills' current lease at Ralph Wilson Stadium ends in 2023, so just a rumor at this point, likely a negotiation tactic, but something to keep an eye on. Could it be the Austin Bills? College football, now 34 days to the start of the Texas football season. Big week for Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns. They'll report to campus, begin fall practice later in the week, into the week. Also, over this past weekend, Texas added the 15th member to their 2022 recruiting class with the commitment of four-star edge rusher Derek Brown of Texas High and Texarkana. 6'3", 210-pounder had been a top priority for new Texas defense coordinator Pete Kwiatkowski and his top assistant Jeff Choate, and they get the commitment over the weekend. Also, big weekend in soccer on the pitch. Unfortunately for the Austin FC, another scoreless night at Q2 Stadium. Verde and Black fell to the Colorado Rapids on Saturday night 1-0. They have lost three in a row now and have been shut out 9 times in their inaugural season. A huge win last night, though, for the U.S. men's national team. Miles Robinson headed home an extra time winner as the U.S. beat Mexico 1-0. They win the 2021 Gold Cup at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. On the other side of that, the Tokyo Olympics, a shocker. Canada upset the U.S. women's national team 1-0. Canadians' first win over U.S. in 20 years. They're going to play either Sweden or Australia for the gold medal on Friday. U.S. women will play for the bronze on Thursday. U.S. medal count stands at 61 total medals, 21 of them gold, including Xander Schauffele winning the gold in golf over the weekend. On your baseball scorecard, battle of a couple of first-place teams in San Francisco over the weekend. Giants, San Fran, takes 2 of 3 from the Astros. They took the rubber game yesterday 5-3. And what do you know, the newest Giant, Chris Bryant, homered in his San Francisco debut. Rangers top Seattle 4-3 in a walk-off win. Round Rock fell to Oklahoma City at Dell Diamond 7-1.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Well, for FC, Austin FC, they've got some scorers coming. They've got some attackers coming, but they better hurry up or Brad Stuver, their goalkeeper, is going to be a mutiny by that dude. I know he's got to be sick of these 1-0s, and he's hanging there with these teams, but they have 3 scorers coming. They just haven't got here yet. And they've got a couple games kind of back-to-back-to-back. And that was a game they needed to win. They beat Colorado earlier in the season. They needed that win at home. But once again, They play that wonderful defense, but wonderful defense does not score any points. They need to score goals. They really do.
Yeah, and you kind of can sense, I mean, the crowds continue to be huge, and the fan base is
It's almost like
electric.
They know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but you get almost you follow social media enough, you start to sense the frustration, and it's getting pretty ridiculous to have 9 shutouts in 11 matches and the inability to find the back of the net. I know it's frustrating for Josh Wolf, but... you know,
once again, it's a first year team. Yeah, they're going to have to spend some money for some scorers. Or what you need to me is you got to have a star. You got to have a guy, whether it's one guy or two guys, you have to have a star just about on any kind of team. It just is that way. We talk about it. This is a professional sport, just like the NBA, football. If you don't have like a real live star, right now the star is the goalkeeper who's hanging in there with 1-0 games. You know what I mean? And the star can't be your goalkeeper. You need it. It's fun to have a great goalkeeper, but it's nice to have some guys that can score some goals.
Yeah,
that really matters. You know, with this Buffalo Bills thing, on Friday I was kind of all over town, and I really, as I said, I was up north and saw what was going on in the Domain area, but I was also out on Palmer Lane there on the east side of town. We got money all over the place here. I had not seen the Amazon and the 3M and that whole city out there.
Yeah.
And along with that is Austin FC. That's where they have their training facilities. They got like 6 fields up there. They got another stadium up there. And there's some other things that are being built up that way. That's like a different part of the world now. When you go over there, a different part of this Austin area on the east side of Palmer Lane. It's incredible. So you're talking about teams that want to come here, money. They got plenty of money here.
Well, it's growing like that everywhere. And then that's been going on, and obviously was exacerbated during the pandemic. You know, we talk about the housing market all the time and joke mm-hmm. about how the prices are just outrageous and unbelievable. That stems from a supply and demand situation. There are so many folks moving here, and they're coming because there are good jobs here. They're coming because tech companies are starting businesses here, and Tesla's coming here, and as you said, Amazon and everything that we see. And yes, if you're an owner of the Buffalo Bills. Right,
I got to give this some thought. I mean,
maybe not, but it's, but yes. I mean, I think this is the first. I mean, Austin FC, and that's why I started the show saying that the success of Austin FC will be looked at by other owners in other sports. It just will. I mean, Austin FC is the first in, right? They brought an MLS team here, and Anthony Precourt was the owner. He was in Columbus. Wanted to bring his franchise. That obviously they cut a deal and he ended up with an expansion tab. But Anthony Precourt understood. He invested $200 million of his own money to build that stadium. And as you just said, all the complex and everything, the practice facility.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, that's a pretty heavy investment from an owner. But he obviously sees the long term and the opportunity to be in this market and grow in this market. And as the FC folks have told us, I mean, they've, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but I mean, the support they've gotten, not just from the fans, but from the sponsorship side, everybody wants to be a part of that. The suites and the everything that goes on at that stadium, pretty incredible. And it's the first one. So you have to know that in other sports, the owners of teams are looking at things saying, okay, what does my market look like compared to that? And you're not just right now, but what's that going to look like 10 years from now? And if I'm a Buffalo Bills owner and I'm looking, it's going to come down to this. Can Buffalo keep them? And then if they can't, I'm not big on taxpayers spending $1.5 billion to help guys who are already billionaires.
Correct, who can really pay for it themselves.
Or at least be a part of that.
Right, and get a couple of their buddies.
Be a part
yes.
of that. But it's extortion in a lot of ways, and we've seen it. And, people would give credit to the voters of San Diego for not budging when it came time to build a new stadium for the Chargers. Well, guess what? Are gone.
Hey, boy, did they miss their team.
And, a city like Oakland, which is a repressed economy for sure out there in the Bay Area, they couldn't afford to keep the Oakland Raiders, so they moved to Las Vegas. You know, once an owner in an ownership group gets to where it's not feasible where they are, then you start looking for the next spot. You start thinking, okay, where could I go? And that's going to be the part of Austin that I think you have to pay attention to is that people are going to start looking at this market and say, wait a second, if I could get there and make that work, whether it's between Austin and San Antonio or just Austin or South Austin, whatever, don't think the exploratory considerations are going to be happening. This is just the first, and I don't think it'll be the last.
And don't think that image and likeness and with Texas going to the SEC, when kids want to come to a school – If they see 3M and Amazon and they see all the corporate places that are built right here, yeah, they're going to be thinking about playing football at Texas in the SEC and putting some money in their wallet too. You have to. The sponsorship all over this city is high priced. It really is. Well, it's big time.
Well, I mean, I'll just quote Elon Musk of Tesla. He said this is the next boomtown. Austin is the next boomtown. And, you know, big picture, that's not just a boomtown in Texas. That's the boomtown in the world.
Right.
And so if you're an owner of a team and you own the team and you have an opportunity maybe to relocate your franchise to the next boomtown, you're going to explore that opportunity. Now, can it happen? Would Jerry Jones ever allow it? I mean, you got to put a lot
of... He wields an awful lot of power
like
in the NFL.
With soccer, the University of Texas wasn't going to get all up in arms about a soccer team coming.
No.
But an NFL team that's going to compete for sponsorship dollars, it's going to compete for fan base. I mean, Jerry Jones is going to be against it without a doubt, and he's a powerful owner.
University of Texas is not going to like it.
And they have a lot of, obviously, political influence at the Capitol. Because, once you decide you'd like to explore that, you've got to get... You got to get the city on board. Now they don't have to deal with Mayor Steve Adler potentially. They'll probably look in an outlying area, which is what most.
I don't know. McCheese may jump in there.
Well, I mean, you'd be looking Round Rock or South, or maybe even combining something with San Antonio and building a stadium that way.
That's
but
where I could
then
see
you,
it.
Then you've got to get political favor. You got to get with the governor and the state capitol and everything that goes into that. It's a long way down the road, and it might just completely be a leverage play.
It's definitely a leverage play. They want their team in Buffalo. You know they want that.
For sure. But there's a reality to the conversation, I guess would be the point. There's
sure.
a reality.
Sure, like going to the SEC. There's a real reality to
there's
it.
This is the first, but it won't be the last. This is the first time we've heard of Austin used as a leverage. We saw
San Antonio for a long time.
San Antonio with New Orleans Saints and with the Oakland Raiders before they went to Vegas. I think you're going to start seeing Austin. And that'll just be not just in that sport, not just in the NFL, but, gosh, Major League Baseball has teams that are struggling and ownerships that are looking for greener pastures. The NBA has some teams that are in that realm. But, again, all the obstacles that we just talked about will be there. But this is just the beginning. And so I would keep an eye on that Buffalo situation. And I can't imagine the taxpayers of New York, and they already pay a huge tax bill
right.
in that state anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And now a billionaire owner, wants a $1.5 billion stadium, 100% funded by taxpayers. And as I mentioned, they don't have like a tourism industry in Buffalo where you can pass this along through hotel and motel taxes and rental car taxes. Maybe if you get other parts of the state involved in something like that, but. The governor's going to have to get, he's not a very popular governor right now anyhow in the state of New York. But, we'll see where that goes. Keep an eye on it. As somebody mentioned, it could be the Austin property tax bills. I like it. I like it.
Property tax bills. Great. That's wonderful.
The Austin bills were to come. The Bills Mafia could come to Austin. Would it stay the Bills or would we change it? Could it be the something music related?
Texas Bills.
I think we'd change it. I think we'd push to change
that. Yeah, because I don't think it would be right in. I shouldn't say. I don't think it'd be right in Austin. I think you've got that quarter between San Antonio and Austin. Share that bad boy. You don't think the San Antonio. San Antonio is a place that once they get into a team, they're into it pretty good. And Jerry doesn't like to hear that because right now he has San Antonio. He has the majority of people in San Antonio. They're not Texans fans. They're Cowboys fans. He can't afford to have them all of a sudden get a... No, he can't afford that.
It'd still be America's team, kind of.
Kind
they
of.
They got to win at some point. Win something 25 years later. But, the popularity of the Cowboys isn't going to dissipate. But,
He don't want to share anything.
I know. I've wondered aloud before, and this is just complete, thinking outside the head here. Because when we go to Arlington, right, for Big 12 Media Days or a Cowboys game or a Rangers game, I always think, obviously the distance between Austin and San Antonio is a little bit further than the distance between Dallas and Fort Worth, but not a lot. Why couldn't San Marcos become the Arlington of Central Texas, right? All it takes.
All kinds of property, yeah.
And how did Arlington do that, right? They just decided they were going to go there, and they cut a
deal.
No,
they just built a monster of a place that everybody loves.
Well, Arlington was home of the Rangers for a long time.
That wonderful field,
and
that
led
there.
To Six Flags is there, of course, and your track that you go to, Lone Star Park's
Lone
not
Star
that
Park.
Far down the road. Now, again, is that a pipe dream that the city of San? I'm just looking at it as if when you're in the Metroplex and you go from Dallas to Fort Worth, all of a sudden it's just been built around professional sports and an amusement park, essentially. Tiny little Arlington, Texas is now the sports capital of North Texas for sure.
Well, when you do that, when you start talking about San Marcos and San Antonio, you've got a quarter that supports F1, that whole place out there. Now you can get to any place.
Right, and that's where you got the whole 130 tollway.
Right.
When you get out there right now, east of San Marcos, there's nothing. I mean, you're hitting 100 miles an hour.
Yes, you are.
You're worried about running into one of those wild boar that cross the street.
That's about it, brother.
Slam into one of those things. But, there's access. I was told that a lot of the Tesla executives are building. They bought property and they're building homes down that way, down Seguin. Because they can just jump on 130 and come right up the tollway to the Tesla plant because properties are so hard to find here in Austin and throughout Central Texas. It's not crazy to think that in coming years, not tomorrow, but next 5 to 10 years, that whole corridor could explode with maybe an NFL team. Maybe baseball, maybe Major League Baseball could explore the opportunity with the success of the Round Rock Express.
I for some odd reason, I just see it easier for a Major League Baseball team to a new team just to roll in than a football team.
Yeah, but then the argument on the other side is if you can climb the political hurdles, football's king in Texas. Could if any state with its economy and its 30 million plus people
can hold three teams,
who could support three football teams?
Sure.
It would be the Lone Star State, and you combine the populations of Austin and San Antonio and its growth trajectory, sure, I think it could. Now, again, the political issues and Jerry Jones and UT and all that has to come into play, but I don't think it's as far-fetched as some believe it is, for sure, big picture and long term.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the top story this morning, the Austin Bills. We'll keep an eye on that. Dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, AV. Consultations.com. Our buddy Tom McKay, you were watching the golf and the Olympics and
yes, I have
everything
been.
On
I'm
your
falling asleep because it's on so late.
Yeah, we're 15 hours different than Tokyo, Japan. But Coach, let me ask you this. Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns will go to camp later in the week. Players will report back. How tough will it be for Sark to keep this team focused and not make what's going on with the SEC and the move become a distraction to his football team?
Well, I don't know how far he expects to be able to put his foot up their rear ends. He's on a deal where he's just starting to learn about his players. So how hard do you get with these football players? They need to have a couple feet in there, but then again, he's still trying to understand, trying to learn what these kids are about, trying to implement stuff without being crazy on them. But they also have a game. They have two games that they play early that I still believe are important to the building of what he's trying to build for the long run. You know what I mean? You want to see all this improvement, but there are two games that are non-conference games. He's still got to play in this Big 12 conference that don't affect your conference. I believe that they're a solid number three. They should be a solid number three in the Big 12 in the last, what I think hopefully is the last year in the Big 12. Now, where you go from there is all about how you take it on. I mean, you can't lose players because you're going to be too rough, and this is opposite of the way I think a lot of times. Yeah, you got to watch. There's that balance between somebody's got to be the good guy. Some coaches have to be the bad guy, but you also have to implement that offense, that defense, that special teams. But you want to see how that works in the first 2 weeks of the football season. So you got to be there's a really tough balance for Coach Sark right now. But once again, this team has to grow, and you got two games to grow. You really do. You have two games that don't affect your standings in your conference.
Actually, have three games.
Yeah, but by that time, dude, I don't want anything but football by the time you get to Rice. You know what I'm saying? By the first two games, those are two slugfests that you're going to be in, with the exception of game one, because there's no slugfest. That's an ass-whooping right there. Come on now.
Well, and we'll see. Steve Sarkisian's first thought at Big 12 Media Days last month was, I've been through a rebuild, right? He took over a Washington program that was 0-12, and so he's seen that part of it.
That's right.
And he's pretty clear that after seeing the winter workouts in the spring and into the summer, this is not that. This is not a rebuild, but Mm-mm. There are deficiencies. There are holes that they've got to fix. And
first of all, when you don't know what you got at quarterback, you don't know. I've seen the kids. I've seen Casey play in bowl games, a couple games in and out, but a bowl game is a month of preparation. You get into those games, you look fantastic. I'm talking about on a week-to-week basis. That's big,
sure.
How the quarterback plays.
Sure. He seems pretty confident he's been around a lot of quarterbacks in his time. He likes what he's got, and he thinks one of them will come earn this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they didn't sprinkle this offense in. They're not taking it slow. He put the entire offense
in
the winter.
Does.
Well, at least for the quarterbacks and for the offensive players, look, let's take it all. Let's not just do half the playbook now since it's the
right.
First year. He gave it for both quarterbacks. He gave them the entire playbook, and he said that's why the spring was a little bit disjointed. That's why we felt like the spring was a lot of teaching and a lot of development. And then the question was going to be who's going to head off into the summer and really, really work on this and come back ready to hit the ground running. And whoever that is, whoever had the better summer, whoever absorbed the playbook better and what the offense is built around and how to run it is going to win that job.
And they also have an offensive line that should be better, and they have an offensive line coach that should make them better. And you got a number five who's back there carrying the football. If he's healthy, you should be off to a rousing start versus Louisiana. As I said, give that guy the ball 20-some times, 25 times. And maybe it won't take that much. He averaged 8.2. If he can average 6.1, you should be winning that game. You should be winning that game, and he should be doing things, and your team should be getting better because they should be getting more confidence.
Yeah.
They really should be.
No doubt. And that is the number 20 team in our countdown, the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns. We'll hit them again. We'll do it each hour with a quick spot. Also, a couple of guests this morning who cover Louisiana, the Ragin' Cajuns, with Billy Napier. We'll talk with the guy who covers them on the newspaper side and radio side there in the state of Louisiana at 8:30 and 9:30. Coming back, though, we'll shine a spotlight on Louisiana Buck, including a stat from last year's 10-1 team that maybe was there a little bit of fool's gold in there with Louisiana last year? We'll give you that out of the Phil Steele's College Football Preview. Also, Isaiah Collier, our tremendous producer, will lead us through the hot or not topics on a cloudy and rainy morning. So be careful out there. Still some slick streets from the showers of the overnight. Be careful as you get up and out. On this Monday, first show in the month of August 2021. Excited to be with you. Live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Every time I speak your name.
Oh, man, good, bad, and ugly on a busy Monday. Weather a little bit ugly out there as you sun comes up, but the clouds are out there. Cool front is what's coming through now. Not a cold front. It's going to be cold by any stretch.
No.
And it's still tremendously humid, but temperatures just at 90 degrees for high temperature today and tomorrow, even into Wednesday, which is not typical for early August in Austin, Texas, usually blazing in the hundreds. So we'll take 90 today, but you are going to deal with some slick streets this morning as you're up and out and heading in. So be careful. Good, bad, and ugly from the weekend, Buck. The Olympics. Also, you mentioned it, but Astros Giants, Chris Bryant hit a home run yesterday in his debut with the San Francisco Giants after being traded to San Fran on Friday before the trade deadline. And according to the Elias Sports Bureau, this has never happened. All three Cubs who were traded at the deadline all homered in their debut with their new team.
By the way, all those guys that were traded had good nights. I mean, they're
good players.
Yeah, they're good players. That
I mean,
happens.
Anthony Rizzo, and that's kind of the story of the Cubs, which is why it surprised a lot of people in the Windy City that they traded everybody.
Yeah.
They didn't just trade. They just didn't retool.
Right.
They cleaned house. And, you know, the Cubs were underachieving this year. And, you know, I think the folks in Chicago would tell you on the north side that, you know, they've kind of regressed since winning the World Series. They hit their peak, and they've kind of slid each year, and this year they were sliding even further. And, you know, those guys are coming up on big new contracts. Chris Bryant, most specifically, could be one of those $250, $300 million guys, and Scott Boras is his agent, so they shipped him to San Francisco. But that's, you know, watching that Giants team up close this weekend because they played the Astros, that's a really good team. They just don't have a ton of star power. Like, you know, Dodgers have all the star power in that division. Padres have Tatis Jr. and the star power, Manny Machado. I mean, the Giants are just good. I mean, they have a bunch of guys you've not heard of for the most part, but they're really a solid ball club all the way through. And, you know, that could be a really big jump start for Chris Bryant with that team. But Javi Baez hit a homer in his Mets debut. Anthony Rizzo hit a homer in his Yankees debut for your Yankees, which was cool to see. And that's the first time that's ever happened. All three guys show up and go deep.
I know. They were good. They really were good. I got to find out from, I don't know if the horn psychologist can help me or somebody. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I go to racetrack and I don't even have to look at something. I just play the numbers, certain numbers I play. 617.
No. Form.
Don't have to go through all that stuff. I'm just a numbers guy. When those numbers roll, I get paid. That's just the way it goes. But over the weekend, on Saturday night, I woke up and, you know, my clock is right there. So, you know, when you wake up, a lot of times you just look over and see what time it is. Well, I woke up three different times, and the number on my clock was 2:22, and then I woke up again, it was 4:44, and then it was 5:55. And then last night I woke up and it said 222 again. And I'm trying to figure out what is this? I mean, this is not something I wait for it to click over to those three numbers like that. I just turned and looked at the clock again this morning at 222 exactly. I'm like, I don't know what it means. Is death awaiting us? I mean, death awaits us all. But what does it mean? What do these numbers mean for me? 555. What I didn't do is 333. You know what I'm saying? I didn't wake up at 333. But for two, it's the weirdest thing. Can you imagine waking up in 555, 444, and 222, and that's on your clock? What does it mean?
What does it mean? Tell me what it means.
I need somebody to tell me that.
Saban?
Anybody else know the numbers and what's that?
Tell me what it means.
I don't know if the horn psychologist would help you with that, but maybe my initial thought is you probably need to take some melatonin or something so you sleep more soundly and don't wake up three times in the middle of the night. You get a good night's sleep. But yeah, that is odd. That is odd. It, you know, could be a total coincidence.
No way. Three could times be. In a row? 222, 444, and 555.
Is that a coincidence or more than that?
Something's up. And then to get 222 again this morning, that's not coincidence.
Your grandma flower needs to be a little bit stronger, my guy.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be waking up four times in the middle of the night. I don't think. You're not getting up to go pee each time, are you?
Well, on this occasion, that was Saturday. That was watching that golf. That was into that. So forget sleeping soundly. I didn't take any medication. I didn't take any CBD, all that. I was already up late watching the golf. So I just didn't understand.
Sounds like you weren't getting your good REM sleep. Your rapid eye movement.
Sorry there, LeBron. Didn't get the REM sleep
rim
again.
Rest. Oh, was rim rest. Rim Come on, rest. Man.
Didn't get the REM sleep again, LeBron.
Says maybe play the lottery. Oh, yeah, you could. You do 4, 2, 5.
I'm thinking that may be a part of it. That could be. It's just weird. That's all.
Okay.
Ask George Norrie.
Ask George Norrie.
I love that guy.
The overnight guy, you know, with all the spooky stories for sure.
Then space people and stuff. No, I'm not going to ask George.
I'm going to go with coincidence. Now, if that continued to happen, that would be like something out of a horror movie. If you kept waking up at 2:22 every morning.
As I said, it happened this morning.
No, it happens again tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, now you're going to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying. I want to sleep. You know what I'm saying? I want to sleep.
You also sometimes go to bed at like 8 o'clock at night.
That's true. I go to bed early.
So 222 is not that off for you.
Yeah.
You've already slept for
you're just
good
weird.
6 hours.
Okay. Just fine. I was watching golf. That was late. So when I went to bed, I woke up those three times. But I went to bed at a decent time, and I only woke up once, and it was 222 again. I haven't got 333. That'll
be tonight.
No, don't say that. I don't want to see 333. I don't want to see that on my clock.
Says it's a ghost, Bucky, communicating with you at those exact times. Don't tell him that. It'll freak him out.
No, I'll never go to sleep. I have one eye open. Sucks.
Golly.
I just there's something to this, and I've been thinking about it. There's something to these numbers. So I don't know what it is. Bucky, ask God. I can get that direct.
This says that 333 is the witching hour, and that means the spirit is there. But you haven't had that one yet.
But I haven't had that one yet.
All right. Spooky stuff. Spooky stuff. Somebody said, have we talked about the Austin Bills yet? Yeah, we've talked about the Austin Bills.
Yes.
Buffalo Bills using Austin as a leverage play at this point. We'll keep an eye on that story. But we're also counting down the top 20 teams in college football from 20 to number 1. Today is the debut of our Horn Top 20 Countdown.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 20, the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns.
All right, Ragin' Cajuns will be here in 34 days. They're off a 10-1 season, as we said, and return. According to Phil Steele's College Football Preview magazine, he has a returning production chart. Number one in the nation, 94.6% of their production from a year ago, which would be yards, scores, catches, tackles, sacks. 94.6% of that production is back and returns, with 20 of 22 starters returning for Billy Napier, the head coach, who's a rising star in the coaching ranks. He's built that program. And it's funny, also in Phil Steele's book, he's got him ranked number 22. He's got the Longhorns ranked 20 in Phil Steele's magazine. But he also has a power poll, which I always like because, this is, we know how rankings go. It's really based on who you play and how schedules go. And but it, you know, as a power poll, he has Louisiana ranked as the 31st best team in the country, which is about right.
I would agree.
But I think for Longhorn fans who are going to hear Louisiana and think, you know, this is the cupcake game, well, you know, who else is in that little range of 31 is Oklahoma State, West Virginia, you know, teams of that ilk in your own conference that, you know, that's about where they are. So, you know, Oklahoma State's typically a tough game for the Longhorns. Now, Mike Gundy's team could improve from that. They, you know, but I'm just putting them in perspective that this is a really good ball club who will come in here with a lot of experience, expecting to be in the ball game and maybe steal a win in Austin.
Well, when you beat the likes of Iowa State, and I know it was early, you beat them with special teams. Iowa State was not prepared on special teams. You really feel good about yourself. But not only that, you go on to only lose one game, and that's the Coastal Carolina, who had a great year. But once again, it's still the Sun Belt. You shouldn't be able to come into Austin, Texas, and win a game on a team that's on its way to the SEC. They've got a lot of starters. Their quarterback is fantastic. Levi Lewis is a really good third-year quarterback, so he knows this offense. They've got wide receivers galore. They got a lot of different types of wide receivers. They have a lot of speed at wide receiver. But the part that gets me is the fact that their defensive line is pretty good. They have two outstanding players. They got a nose guard that's fantastic, big, stout guy, 6'5", 333, and they've got an outside linebacker. Well, they have a real true defensive end, 6'5", 240. Other than that, I think you should be able to control the football game, run them over, and go about your business. Their secondary, two all-conference guys in the secondary. They got one guy's 5'9", should be able to take advantage of that with your speed. But this is a team that's going to be confident. One thing they will be, they won't walk in here afraid, whether it's 100,000 or 40,000. They're not going to be afraid to come in here and play. They've played, but they haven't played a team like this. The Fun Belt last year was a fantastic conference. It grew last year, and people were really excited about some of the teams, Coastal Carolina, Louisiana. Other teams, they're always fun. Appalachian State, they're always really good and fun sound teams. But this one in particular, E, is one that if you don't get yourself set, you can get hurt. Their quarterback rushed for almost 400 yards. As I said, he's a 3-year starter at that position. But you on the offensive side at University of Texas ought to be able to take care of your business, especially with your offense against this group. And that's the part that everybody worries about. And that's not the part I worry about in this particular game. But Louisiana, they're not afraid. For sure.
Solid team at number 20. And as we said last hour, they finished 15th in the AP poll 1 year ago. Top 15 team when it was all said and done. Now, they didn't get to play Coastal Carolina in a rematch for the Sun Belt Conference Championship because of COVID issues. That game got canceled. But here they are coming to Austin. And the one thing I'll watch for in that game for sure, Longhorns are a 9-point favorite in that game, which, you know, went to Vegas and, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, you know, their boundary corner is a big 6'2 kid. This is where, like, the one thing I know about Billy Napier's team and that defense, and we'll learn more about it next hour when we talk to our first guest who covers Louisiana. They play a press man defense, and they get up at you, and they're going to be aggressive on defense. And this will be the first chance to see what are these receivers about.
Texas was not good against press coverage last year.
That's right. Well, everyone knows that, right? So you're going to test it early. You know, what does Jordan Whittington have getting off press coverage? How good is Troy O'Meary, the wide receiver? Is there something to this freshman, the kid Xavier Worthy, that can bring a speed factor and a speed element to the Texas offense? This is what this team will test you on that. This team will absolutely test you. And you know, week two against Arkansas, you'll get tested because Barry Odom, who is the defensive coordinator at Arkansas, knows the same thing, and he's got two big SEC corners. They're going to try to lock you up, and because everyone understands, you've got Bijan Robinson, and you're going to try to run the football. Steve Sarkisian, it's a staple of any offense he's ever had. But at the same time, if you can't get off press coverage and your receivers, you can use, you know, extra people at the line of scrimmage, we'll know pretty quick.
Well, visually for the cornerbacks against press coverage, including the safety there, that's good. Get up there close to the line of scrimmage and have Bijan escape.
Yeah,
while you're up there some pressing around. Yeah, there's some big plays to be had there, and that's what Texas should do. They should make a lot of big plays in the running game. I don't care who's running the ball. I think Texas should have enough to make some big plays in the run game that really can puncture this defense and really, really hurt them.
Coming up next hour in our check on Louisiana, we'll talk to Tim Buckley. He is the Louisiana beat reporter for the Daily Advertiser. Get his thoughts from an eyewitness account. He covers that team on the Daily, the 20th ranked team in our countdown. Coming back, we're going to hit the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through the show on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Isaiah Collier will walk us through that. It was a busy weekend, a lot to dive into there. It's B&E on a Monday.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and knots every morning before 8 o'clock, almost halfway through the show. Isaiah Collier grills us on some topics maybe we've missed, didn't get to yet, haven't gotten to yet. We've also talked plenty of hot or not topics this morning, including the Austin Bills or the Buffalo Bills eyeing Austin. I would say this. Nobody on the Austin side that we're aware of has any idea what they're talking about. Not at the state capitol, not at the Austin City Council. So obviously this is coming more from Buffalo and the ownership group in Buffalo that maybe we'd like to talk to Austin, but until there's actually something in reciprocating, then there's really not much to it. But we will keep our eyes on that. I do know injuries are a part of training camp. Not good in Indianapolis with the Carson Wentz story. Of course, Cam Akers out with the Rams. His foot, his knee, or Achilles. He sees injuries. We'll test some teams for sure. And the Minnesota Vikings are desperate for quarterback. Bucky's team, the Minnesota Vikings. Kellen Mond, the Texas A&M star, he's in Minnesota. He tested positive for COVID-19, Bucks. He's one of these guys that did not get vaccinated. He got the COVID. And he's now put Mike Zimmer in a spot. Mike Zimmer's the head coach of your Minnesota Vikings.
Still.
They don't have any quarterbacks because the starting quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and then the third string guy, they're all like, they can't participate because they're all COVID protocols.
You like that?
So Mike Zimmer's like furious. He's like, okay, I don't have any quarterbacks. How do we practice without quarterbacks? So they're trying to sign some guys, trying to find people on the street to come in and play quarterback for them because they're not sure how long those guys are going to be out. What a mess. Also from training camp early, according to Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo playing great. Playing great.
Good.
Of course, Trey Lance. They drafted Trey Lance. Who's going to win that job? Justin Fields, Andy Dalton in Chicago, Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo in
San Francisco.
All
these young guys are going to sit early. They're going to sit early until Garoppolo goes, you know, he's just like Carson Wentz. He'll be down here soon with some foot injury or something else will come up.
Oh, yeah, he is one of those Carson Wentz kind of guys.
He's like that.
He is, and Carson Wentz hurt again. Tell me if you've heard that story before. Isaiah Collier, what do you have in the hot or not topics of your Monday?
Good looking out, fellas. Spencer Rattler, a.k.a. the great value version of Patrick Mahomes. If you want another reason to hate or dislike Spencer Rattler, well, here you go, because the Heisman Trophy favorite is the first CFB player to sign autographs at the National Sports Collectors Convention for money.
Cash flow.
How much do you think each autograph costs, fellas?
$100.
$45.
$150.
Ooh.
Hell no.
For Spencer Rattler's autograph?
Yep. Great value, Patrick Mahomes.
Remember your guy Johnny Manziel was doing that. I don't think it was legal, but, you know.
He said he didn't do it until after the Heisman. Liar, pants on fire.
Players, can we get Reggie Bush's Heisman back, please? Reggie's out there mad at everybody. No, I would not spend $150 for a Spencer Rattler autograph.
I don't think I would,
but
no.
I don't mind him doing that.
Don't think so. Not going to happen.
He's the established favorite at quarterback, and typically Lincoln Riley's got a reserve seat at the Heisman Trophy presentation
that he does.
No matter who his quarterback is. But, yeah, I'm not paying $150 for that, but there might be some collectors out there that would say that that's not a good idea by you. You should, because, you know, if he ends up a great quarterback, then it's worth some money. It's collectible.
I'm not seeing him as a great quarterback in the NFL. I'm seeing him as a good quarterback, but not a great quarterback.
Okay.
He's one of those guys. I'm not everyone that comes out of there is a great one.
I need to see
more,
for sure. But
didn't Sam Bradford come from there?
He did.
How was he? He was the last to collect that big check, though, wasn't he?
Just okay. But, you know, obviously, since Sam Bradford, the NFL has changed what it looks for in a quarterback. You know, we thought when Kyler Murray got there, he was a great high school quarterback, and he was going to be a phenomenal pro quarterback or college quarterback. But the pros, he's too small. He's too small to play pro quarterback.
He's still trying to have to prove it.
Yeah, you know, Baker Mayfield's still trying to have to prove it. Jalen Hurts is going to be the starting quarterback with Philadelphia.
Right.
Speaking of Carson Wentz. So, you know, Spencer Rattler is on the trajectory of guys who turn into top draft picks. So he was the number one quarterback coming out of high school. He's emerged as a starter in Oklahoma in his third year, and he's the established favorite. You know, he's on that track, but he certainly doesn't look to me like a Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Or a Justin Fields.
He himself doesn't look like the guy that will change the fates of a team. Do you know what I'm saying? He needs a lot around him, I'm going to believe.
Yeah, and that's a fair point because I'm a Houston Texans fan, or what's left of the Houston Texans, and they're likely to have the first pick next year.
By the way, he's not like Deshaun Watson.
No, exactly.
When he's coming out. He's not
exactly.
That guy. No.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like,
no, he's not.
Give me Deshaun every time.
Absolutely.
Now, I got to see him again this year. I got to see a little more. I mean, he was really good late last year, but is he a franchise-changing quarterback? Got to see more. Got to see more.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, this is another year of maturity for him, and maybe won't get yanked out of the Texas game.
Zay, would you spend $150 on the autograph for Spencer Rattler?
Hell to the no.
By the way, I wouldn't spend $150 on anybody that's not already, dead. No. Maybe Tom Brady.
Well, a dead person can't sign an autograph for
him. Well, maybe his cousin or somebody else could sign. But there's not a lot of people alive that I would... Not. First of all, I'm not an autograph seeker, and if I were to, I would probably be...
It's a hot market, man.
I guess.
Collectibles is red hot. People loving their sports collectibles, their cards, their autographs.
You know who I've signed up? I have Lee Elder golf ball.
That's not worth much.
See, that's not right. I mean, give an old brother a chance. Come on, man. But I don't have a bunch of... I'm not an autograph. I don't know what you do with them except for sell them. Do you watch them? Do you look at them? My guy Tony Dorsett, I've got all of his stuff.
I don't even know if the autograph, but like if you have a autographed card, like the actual, because obviously collectibles like anything else, it's the rarity of them. Only 20 of these were printed, and you have one of them, and it's signed, and it's a great player in any sport. That's going to make it more valuable. But
does the bubble gum come with it? Has he got any gum in his card or anything?
It's a fair question. Sign it? I don't know. I haven't bought a pack of cards in a long time. Do they still put that?
Do they put the bubble gum in there?
That gross piece of
I don't think
stick
they do.
Gum in there.
I don't think they. That stuff was good. It was good for eating. Made a whole meal swallowing that madness. How many pieces of that bubble gum did I drop
Somebody
down my belly?
Pointed out that your guy, Tom Brady, TB12, his autograph goes for $3,000.
How about that?
I'm not buying that. How about that? No, thank you. $3,000?
$3,000.
No. I'd like to have his rookie card, though.
What's that?
I'd love to have had his rookie card.
See, exactly. That's what you're trying to get ahead of. I mean, that's the whole point.
Spencer Rattler? No. I don't think so.
Well, Spencer Rattler. Well, you would have liked to have Kyler Murray's back in the day when he was an undefeated high school player.
Says, hey, E, dead people can vote. Funny political take right there. Good
like
job
it.
There.
But dead people can vote?
Dead people can
been known
vote.
To happen. Been known to happen.
Yeah, gotcha.
Hey, by the way, you see the video of the Detroit Lions quarterback? David, what do you say his name? B-L-O-U-G-H, Blow? David Blau? David Blau, quarterback with the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
So there was great video that went viral. Like, he and a bunch of members of the Lions were in their facility watching his wife.
She's in the Olympics, yeah.
Melissa Gonzalez, and she ran for the gold. And she won and so they're all cheering. It was pretty awesome to watch his, and she's a Texas X. Are you ready?
Nice.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool story right there. But that was neat. To watch his just raw emotion watching his wife, running the Olympics. That was really
go
cool.
Go, baby, go, baby.
Go, baby,
go, baby, go,
go baby,
baby.
Go.
Yeah.
Go. No, it's great. It's good stuff. It's good stuff right there. All right, there's some hot or not. We'll come back with the headlines, including the latest on that Buffalo Bills story. Yes, we'll hit it. Also, Longhorns picking up a nice commitment over the weekend on the recruiting trail. And the latest from the Tokyo Olympics, including a stunner for soccer. Not good for the Stars and Stripes. It's B&E with you.